So if you would open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Good, for those of you who are paying attention. No, just kidding. Hebrews chapter 4. All right, turn there, please. We made it all the way to verse 12. Okay, so let me zip there, zippity-doo-dah there myself. And then I'm going to read in God's Word from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. To the end of the chapter, which I think is 16 until I turn there. All right. And then we'll go through it verse by verse. All right, starting in verse 12, if you would read it with me. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. Nothing, verse 13 says, in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, verse 14 continues, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Well, today we left off last week with this verse that said, let us make, Hebrews chapter 4:11, let us therefore make every effort, talking about entering God's rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Now, this was, we have to remember, a lot of people memorize Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active, and they memorize that as a standalone verse, and there's nothing wrong with that, okay? However, it's really, if we remember to take it in context, a continuation from this verse. So this verse is telling us, hey, you, I, we need to make every effort to enter that rest, right? And so that we won't perish by following the examples of all of God's people in the past, all those that didn't enter the promised land, right? They didn't believe God's promise, and they disobeyed God's word, and they didn't go in. And so that's kind of as we go and as we start here. And then we talked about working hard. But that's where Hebrews 4:12 starts off. And it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judges, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Now again, it starts off saying for, and that for is a term of explanation. And again, it's explaining what's been said in verse 11, where we would make every effort to enter God's rest. Right? Because most of those people perished because of disobedience, because they disobeyed the word, right? And that's really sad because they saw miracles of God. They were around God's people all the time. They heard it. They saw God working. They were in the congregation. It would be the same for us if maybe you went to church or young adult group or youth group or men's Bible studies or women's Bible studies and you're part of the prayer group and you help with children's, all these different things. But you know what? And you're even learning. You learn the Christian speak and the God talk. But when it comes to learning and trusting to obey God yourself, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm gonna live my own way. And God says, no, don't be like those who were disobedient back then. Don't be that way. And I think we have a lot of churches that have a lot of people like that. And so we have to understand, right, that those folks, it was because of disobedience, as most of God's people did back then, and they were disobedient. Why? Because they didn't know, they didn't trust, and they didn't obey the word of God for themselves. Does that make sense? No one can obey the word of God. Listen, you're here, so that tells me at least you want to learn, right? Unless somebody made you come here, which could be true. But even if that's the case, God still got you here for a reason. But you're wanting to learn. You're wanting to hear the word of God, and that's good. And now you have a choice. You have a choice to say, okay, I don't really like what he's saying. I don't like the tone in which he's saying it. I don't like the way that verse was phrased. I don't like the translation he used. I don't like the voice inflection he used. I don't like what that said to me. Or you can say, you know what? Lord, I'm going to trust your word because it's living and powerful. And not only am I going to trust it, I'm going to demonstrate that trust by obedience. Does that make sense? Because it is, I've counseled people for a long time. Let me just forget that for a second. My wife and I have done that for me. I've counseled myself for a long time. And can I tell you what? Sometimes I can lie to myself. I trick myself. It's the dumbest thing I've ever, but I'm just being honest with you. This line, I'm just going to go up to the line. You dummy. I'm not going to go cross it. I'm on the line now, but let me just go to the edge. We lie to ourselves and this is okay. This is not, God's saying, don't do that. That's what they did back then. Don't do it now today. Don't do it in your own heart. We need to trust and obey because there's, you guys are so good. And it says for the word of God, and I love this. Now, a few commentators actually think this is talking about Jesus here, as in John 1:1, also in Revelation, Jesus is referred to as the word, and I get that. And although we can surely link the God of the word with the word of God, what it's talking about here is the written revelation from God. Okay, that's what we're talking about here, God's word. And so I just want to make sure that we understand that. Now, the Bible is not like any book in any other book in existence. This Bible is the only book that reads you as you read it because of the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that in a minute because it's living. The writers were moved by the Holy Spirit of God, right? They each had their own personalities and way of writing things and doing things that are different, but the Holy Spirit is the one that moved them and guided them to write these things. And a lot of times people say, oh, all these different writers and all these different, this is just man's opinion. Not at all. This isn't the word of man, it's the word of God. And when the Bible speaks, when God speaks, and he speaks to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways to us. This is a strong statement, but it's true. Not in a legalistic way, but in our hearts, there's almost like a disconnect. Oh, I love Jesus. I do. I love him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Right? But I'm just going to live however way I want. And there's almost a disconnect. So I love Jesus. I'm just going to disobey the word. And that's that same trap that I can fall into sometimes, and so can you, where we're lying to ourselves. Okay? And so being disobedient to the Bible is refusing to obey God. What? We are going to be doing the same thing if we're being disobedient to God's word, just as those people did. Hey, God's telling them, the promised land is there for you. Cross into. I've got it all worked out for you. We can't go in there. They're giants. I can give you a million reasons why that doesn't make any logical sense. And God's like, what are you talking about? I got you out to go into this promised land. This is the whole reason we get it. We're not going to obey. Don't do that. Right? Being disobedient to the Bible is refusing to obey God himself. That's why it's so important for us to learn, know, trust, and obey God's word. Right? Listen, I love God's word, and it says this in Peter, because this is a supernatural book, and I don't know how to say it any other way, but this is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 21-ish. What did I, 21? Yeah, 20 and 21. This, I have it in a New Living Translation because I said I just liked how it said it better, but it says, above all, we must realize that no prophecy of Scripture, everything that's in here, ever came from a prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, it's, the stuff that you're reading today isn't because somebody said, oh, I think this would be helpful to the Christians down the road. No, the stuff that actually made it into the Bible was not from their own understanding or their own human initiative. It says, no, these prophets or these people were moved by the Holy Spirit of God, and they spoke from God. So you are getting not the word of men, not the intentions of men. You are getting the word of God being given to you. Does that make sense? Okay. Now listen, here are some quotes, because you guys hear me talk about it all the time. So I put a few different people, and I want you to listen. Don't walk away. Listen to what is being said. Martin Luther said this, the soul can do without everything except the word of God, which none at all of it wants are provided for. So listen, we can do without absolutely everything except that nourishment, that food for our soul, the word of God. John Stott, who's another famous Bible teacher, said, we must allow the word of God to confront us. Nobody likes that part, that portion, to disturb our security, to undermine our complacency, to overthrow our patterns of thoughts and behaviors. You have a certain pattern. I call it baggage. You have a certain thought pattern that you grew up with. Sometimes it's abuse, sometimes it's selfishness, sometimes it's whatever. There's a sin pattern that you've adopted in your life in certain areas, right? And the word of God is not only to bring you comfort and encouragement, it's also there to confront you on some things, to make you uncomfortable, right? Listen, I want nothing more. One of my gifts from the Holy Spirit, I believe, is to encourage. When I see you, nothing more I want to do than encourage you in the Lord, 100%. But also, I want to say this. The word of God doesn't just allow me to do that. It also confronts. It makes us uncomfortable in certain situations. And that, why do we want to go to that church? Sometimes I just want to go. I want to feel good. I want you to feel good. But God's word isn't always going to do that. Because God has the better, the whole picture in mind. Listen, you can feel good yourself all the way to hell and not even enter the promised land. God doesn't want that for you. Does that make sense? And it's not because he's a mean God. He loves you. He cares about you. So we have to say, okay, you're disturbing my security. Examine myself to see whether or not I'm in the faith. Well, that's uncomfortable. Well, maybe we should do it anyway because that's what God says. Well, I've been complacent in this area. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it right now. You don't know what pressure I'm under. Maybe God is telling you, I want you to hear it anyway. So it's important that God's word, right, challenges us to overthrow these sinful patterns of thinking that we've become accustomed to. David Platt, a modern-day pastor and Bible teacher, said, if we want to know the glory of God, if we want to experience the beauty of God, and we want to be used by the hand of God, well, then we must live in the Word of God. So it starts off, right, realizing we can't do everything without the Word of God, and then it goes to being confronted by the Word of God, and then obeying the Word of God. That's when you're going to see the glory of God and the beauty of God and the hand of God moving in your life. I love that Elijah is in Japan right now on a missions trip for these last couple months. He couldn't come home because of a big, gigantic typhoon in the area. But God's hand is on him. God's going to take care of him. And we trust him because he's living in the Word of God. And last, Charles Spurgeon, I have to have a quote by him. It says, the word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend a lion. All you have to do is let the lion loose, and the lion will defend itself. here's the deal. All I'm going to do is present this to you. You have a choice whether you can receive it, learn it, obey it. That's up to you. My desire is that you come to know the God of the Word through the Word of God, so that you may be strengthened and enjoy the glory of God and living in the experience of God and living moved by the hand of God. Does that make sense, everyone? Only you can make that choice with him. Capiche? All right. And it also says living. It says the word of God is living, okay? And that verse in the Greek, the emphasis is actually on the word living, and it's in the present tense. And what that means is, like, the word of God just wasn't living for people back in Jesus' day or back in the Old Testament. It's in the present tense saying it's living right this second, today, as you sit here. It's living. It's now. It's not for them. It's for you. It's for you to hold on to and take into your heart. If you won't do that, you know what's going to happen? Absolutely nothing. And you miss out, and not only you, we miss out. It's fresh. It's God's word is living. It's fresh. It's refreshing to every single generation, every day, every time. Isn't that cool? A lot of times people say, oh, that was the word just for people back then. No, that's the word for you, for us today, right? The word in Greek for living is zao. Zao, actually, is what it is, zao. And it literally means alive, breathing, active. It means having the breath of life. And when I see that and I hear that, having the breath of life makes me thinking of the Holy Spirit, breathing life into the word of God, right? Into our hearts, into our minds. That's why I always pray, Lord, open our hearts to reveal yourself and your ways and your word every single time. You should pray that too. I pray it for you, but you should pray every time you study the word. It means having vital power, living, having vital power, this word, za'o, in itself, and then exerting power over the soul. That's what God's word does. It's living. It reads you as you read it. I like this quote from D.L. Moody. It says, when a man is filled with the word of God, or a woman, it would apply, you cannot keep him or her still. If a man or woman has got the word, he or she must speak it or die. Listen, if you really grasp, if you really learn, if you really receive it, if you're really hiding that in your heart, you can't help but speak it out. I can I tell you, just as a regular person, I'm nobody special. This is just my calling, okay? So I get so many spiritual attacks, I can't even begin to tell you. But every time, every Sunday, it's just continuous attacks. And sometimes I don't want to go through it. I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes I get tired and I don't want to wrestle through it, but I can't help it. Like, I don't want, maybe I'm tired, maybe I'm discouraged, maybe I'm getting too many spiritual attacks, and I'm like, forget it, it's just not worth it. I can't do that. And there was another guy in the Bible that couldn't do it either, and it's the same with you. Listen, his name was Jeremiah. You may have heard of him. He was called the weeping prophet. My wife named me that many, many, many years ago when we first got married. But Jeremiah 29 says this, okay, right? Because Jeremiah got discouraged. I think at the time he was getting beat up. God told him, I want you to tell my word to everybody. And oh, great, Lord. And you know what he got for it? From his own people, he got a beat down. It says he got mocked. If you read Jeremiah chapter 20, they mocked him. They belittled him. They ostracized him. They actually were manipulating things and situations to try to get everything you can imagine, right? And he went on to say, then I said, I'm not going to make mention of you, God, nor speak your name anymore in your name. But he said, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire. And then he ended up saying, It was shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back when I, in fact, I couldn't. You see, when you come to know the God of the Word of God, and the God of the Word in that way, you can't help but let it flow out of you. The more you come to know Him, the more you know His Word, the more you understand the power of the Word of God in your life, the more you can't help share that with others, right? It's the truth. There'll be a fire. And you might be saying, well, I don't really have that fire. Well, are you spending time in the Word? Are you praying, asking God to reveal Himself in His Word? Because that's the first thing the enemy will have you do is put it off. I don't have time for devos. I got work. I need to relax. I got my hobbies. I got my this, my that, my. But His Word is a burning like a fire in my heart. Here's some more quotes on the living Word of God, because I like that. A.W. Tozer wrote some fantastic books. The Pursuit of God is my favorite. But it says, the Bible is not an easy book. This is about the living Word. It says, it's a sharp instrument that cuts through our defenses. We should not approach it simply to gather more information, but allow it to transform our lives. Do you hear what that's saying? You can get a lot of cool info and talk God talk, but it should be changing your life. You know, if I call up somebody, many of us, we used to drink, we used to smoke, we used to do drugs, we used to do this, that, and the other. Or God is in the process of removing these things from your life, whatever it is, whatever the sin is. I was greedy, I was selfish, I was a womanizer, I was a cheater, you name it. If God is really working, He's either removed it or He is working on removing it. Allow that to happen. Right? Allow it to transform. And that's the key word too. The power is there. But unless you're allowing it to work by obeying, if you're just, you know, I don't want to listen to you, God. Arms folded, foot stomped. Nothing's going to happen. And God, allow it. God, do whatever you need in my heart, in my life, to make me right with you. Does that make sense? You have that choice. I don't know who the author was, but I liked it. Here's another quote. We are not powerless to change when we hold a Bible in our hands. That living Bible holds the power to change us. Does that make sense? Don't ever tell me, and I don't say this as like a mean thing, don't ever tell me that you don't understand, I can't change, this is too much, this addiction, this whatever, baloney. What I'm going to say is, I don't know, we need to know the God of the Word and the Word of God more and understand the power that's available to us. Because He can change you. 100% of the time. And you can be a better witness for your daughter, for your son, for your friends. Listen, you're with somebody here today. You're a witness to them. And you're either drawing them closer to the Lord right now, or you're drawing them away. Which is it? If it's either one, just ask the Lord, Lord, please, in Jesus' name, allow me to draw people closer to you. Here's another quote for you. A living Bible that's falling apart usually represents a living life that's been put back together. Isn't that the truth? See, those of you whose lives have been put back together or are in the process of being put back together know this to be true. Where we run into problem is if you don't know it to be true personally. You can hear it from me. I can get even all excited about it. But until you know personally, then that fire isn't in your own belly. You're just hearing about the fire from me. God is challenging you. Receive it. Allow it to work in your heart and mind so it can overflow onto other people. I know we're spending a lot of time on this verse, and be thankful because I actually had way more than I have. I stopped, but it also says the Word of God is not only living, but it's powerful. The word in Greek is energes, and it means filled with energy, actively working. It means effectual. And I looked, that's kind of like a King Jamesy word, effectual. And I was like, huh, what does that mean, effectual? Honestly, I didn't know, so I had to look it up. And this is the perfect definition. It says completely capable of completing the desired effect. So the word of God is effectual, or completely capable of completing whatever desired effect that you want in your life, that God wants in your life. Overcome any sin, any addiction, any stronghold. It's powerful enough to do that, completely capable to do that, right? Today, more than ever, God's word radiates power over our hearts and minds. It has the power to overcome any sin and also the power to impart grace to us and mercy. Look, Pastor Gary and Pastor Darren don't do everything right all the time. Sometimes we mess up. We fall down flat. Now, do we like that? Do we enjoy that? No. We mess up, we sin. But a righteous man or a righteous woman gets up seven times, right? Right? Seven times they fall down, seven times they get back up again, the Bible says. And his not only, so his grace and his mercy is there for us in the Word of God, right? His comfort is there for us. In fact, all the great godly changes in your life, when you think about it, have been caused by the power of God's Word in your life. It's true. I you guys have maybe seen this one a long time ago, but this is the New King James Version because I liked it there. But Psalm 119:11, if you there are no supermen or superwomen, super Christians, but we are, because if we're trusting in the Word, that power that He gives us as we trust and obey His Word, right, gives us that power. It says, "Your word have I hidden in my heart." That makes us supermen. That makes us superwomen. Right? That I might not sin against you. That allows us to say no to sin. That gives us the power to do that. Right? Or if we're in sin, to get out. Someone once said, its power is seen in awakening a conscience, alarming fears, laying bare the secret feelings of the heart, and causing the sinner to tremble with apprehension of the coming judgment. All the great changes in the moral world for the better have been caused by the power of truth. No words can overestimate the might of the truth which God has revealed, and I would add, in His Word. There is power. In fact, 2 Peter 2:1, and the next verse will be, 2 Peter 1:3, and the next verse will be 1:4, talks about this. His divine power, dunamis, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And it goes on, that next verse in 2 Peter 1:4 says, He has given us His very great, very great. I love that. It's not even just great, the Bible says. Very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in His divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. The Word of God, by the power of God, the Holy Spirit reaches out and helps you and strengthens you and comforts you and challenges you. Whatever it is, that's what He does. That's the power of the Word of God. Many times people will come to me and say, not always, not every sermon, but many times they'll come and say, "That message was so powerful, Pastor. I felt like you were speaking right to me." Sometimes they'll get angry and they'll come and say, I was thinking somebody was saying something. Did somebody tell you? Did somebody tell you about this? I can't tell you the number of times, and they're sincere. They're not, you know, sometimes they're mad, but they think, you know, I thought it too when I was younger in the Lord. I thought, okay, somebody must have told you something, some secret. You looked right at me when you said that word. You knew. Somebody told you. It's never, 99% of the time, it's just the Holy Spirit of God. What He's doing is using a vessel to speak to you. It could have been anybody. It's just, it's him speaking to you through the word of God, bringing that verse to life, speaking the word of God to you. Does that make sense? So don't shoot the messenger next time, okay? Anyway, so please understand that the pastor or preacher can only help in the presentation of God's word. Like I do all these scripture pictures because to me, I'm a visual guy. And that helps me to understand a little bit better, right? But really, the power, the real power, the Holy Spirit-inspired power is in the word of God itself. I could be funny, I could be charming, I could make these nice pictures, but the power is really in the word of God itself, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Okay? When we choose to receive and believe it. Nehemiah 8:8 says, I want you to understand, it's not really the pastor. Listen, whether I'm up here or Gary or Jason or whoever, we have visitors or whatever, listen, it's the word of God empowered by the Holy Spirit that really is living and powerful. In the book of Nehemiah, if you were with us when we went through it, it says that the pastors, the priests there, they read from the book of the law, that's the word of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what they read. That's what we do. All we're doing is helping you to understand what God's word is saying to you. The real power is in the word. That's the life changing, transforming power of the word of God. It also says, so we've gotten through not even a sentence in verse 12. I told you this is my favorite verse. Can I tell you one thing that shocked me? Okay, this verse, hopefully you can see how it's very powerful to me. I don't just know it because I've been taught a sermon. I know it because I lived it, and I still live it today. Does that make sense? Okay, so when I look at commentaries, listen, I can't believe how many people, they had a tiny little paragraph on this verse. And I was like, ah! I was like, well, maybe it's just this one. Open another one. Ah! Tiny little paragraph. I'm like, my goodness, no, there's so much in here. Now, there was one or two that had some meaty stuff in there, but by and large, most people just had a teeny tiny little paragraph on it. It's so meaty. Like if you get this one thing, I mean really get it, your life will start to transform. I guarantee it. But anyway, it says it's not only is the word of God living and powerful, it's also sharper than a double-edged sword, right? You guys remember that Bryan Adams song? You remember that? Sorry. Na, 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 na. It cuts like a knife. And it feels so right. Anybody remember that? I might not be singing, Aaron. How could you, Nick, of all people, I thought for sure you would remember Brian Ann cuts like a knife. Na, 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 na. But it feels so right. Now, they're not talking about the Lord, but that's what this verse reminds me of, okay? It's the Bible is razor sharp like the finest scalpel, right? That's what the word of God is. It's sharp all over. And it's interesting to me that he didn't use, I don't know, make a visual of the Bible being a hammer. And I think in a sense it's because God doesn't want a hammer on us and he doesn't want us to bludgeon the snot out of our friends with the Bible, right? Have you ever been hammered by somebody with scripture? Many times it's done with good intent, but it is so damaging. You just feel like somebody just bludgeoned the snot out of you for nothing. Usually they're using the word of God in a wrong way, right? Or he didn't mention it as a battle axe or a hatchet, right? To hack people up or to hack others or to hack ourselves, because that's not what it's talking about. He talks about a double-edged sharp sword that cuts with surgical precision. The preacher Charles Spurgeon said this about the two-edged sword, and I like this. A sword with two edges has no blunt side. It cuts both this way and that. The revelation of God given us in the Holy Scripture is edge all over. It is alive in every part, and in every part keen to cut our conscience and even wound the heart. Depend on it. There is not a superfluous, that means useless, There's not a useless verse in the Bible, nor a chapter which is useless. Okay? That's the sharp double-edged sword. He also said, while it has an edge like its sword, it also has a point like a rapier. Right? Piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The difficulty with some men's hearts and women's hearts is to get at them. In fact, there's no spirituality or spiritually penetrating the heart of any natural man except by this piercing instrument, the word of God. The rapier of revelation will go through anything. The hardest heart, it doesn't matter. The most stubborn man, stubborn woman, I've watched the word of God cut through. Every defense, every roadblock, it's really quite amazing. And it says that it's a discerner of the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. Again, our hearts are deceitfully wicked. We can't even understand the word of God without this supernatural discernment. We need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, would you give me discernment supernatural as I read your word? Don't read it like a dictionary or an information textbook. Read it as the living, powerful word of God. Lord, reveal it to me. Because the natural man in us doesn't get it. In fact, that's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the New King James Version. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So the Holy Spirit has to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to receive this. But the word of God is so important. I watch so many people, oh, his name, Jesus, 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 but they could care less about his word. And that's not what the Bible talks about. The Bible says this in Psalm 138:2. It says, I bow down humbly. Right? I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. Listen, I guess maybe this is a refresher, but I want you to understand the living power of the word of God. Look, anything that you learn, any cool YouTube video, any cool TikTok informational thing that you get, listen, if you got a degree in psychology or sociology or chemistry or whatever, none of that. It's all going to burn. In fact, he says heaven and earth, not saying those things are even bad, but it says heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. When you hide these, God's word in your heart, right? This will never pass away. Heaven, the earth someday are going to be rolled up like a carpet. It's all going to burn, right? But God is saying, listen, my words will always be here. There's an eternality. That's why it's so important. That's why the enemy doesn't want you learning them. Does that make sense? How long have I been teaching? Liar! No, okay. Sorry. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm just sorry. Declaration of Independence. Anyways. Just kidding. But listen, all the way back in Joshua's time, right? When Joshua was one of the only ones that went into the promised land of all those people. And you know why? Because not only did he know the word, right, and receive it, he trusted and obeyed. And because of that, he got to enter the promise. Just think of all the people. Remember last week we talked about the ark? All the people, Noah's preaching for 100 years, all the people that didn't go in the ark because they didn't make that trust and obey, I'm going to get in the ark and the door is going to be shut and be saved. But he was telling his own people when he was dying, he said, soon I'm going to die. I'm going to go the way of everything on earth. And deep in your hearts, you know this. So if you don't know it now, receive it right now in Jesus' name, Joe. Pay attention. Wake up, Flo. Hear me, Kathy. Don, every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed. Guys, here's what I want you to understand. sometimes, God bless you, sometimes I've had to wait for his promises to be fulfilled. God doesn't operate on my timing. I wish he did sometimes. Sometimes I'm glad he didn't. Rain down the hammer. Yeah, he does. Lightning. No, we're not going to do that, D. But listen, the Bible says these things because, look, the Word of God is so great. The Word of God is a counselor to you. Do you understand that? It maps out, even before this, it says Psalm 119, 23, and 24. The rulers sit together and they slander me. But your servant's going to meditate on your word, your decrees, your statutes, or your word is my delight. They are my counselors. I've watched many people, maybe you know this too, get counseling from many people. And sometimes that's helpful. But I've watched videos of counselors who've been operating 20, 30, 40 years. And when they're asked, how many people has your counseling completely cured? When you add it all up over the years. And I've watched almost everyone say, no one have we cured. Sometimes they'll say, like one person in like 30 years. Here's the, and again, I'm not saying that that can't be helpful because it can. With that being said, the Word of God is your ultimate counselor. Now, if you really want to counsel people, counsel them with the Word of God. Because that's going to minister to them in a way, in a supernatural way, that's going to help them to overcome any situation. Does that make sense? They're your delight. They're your counselors. Not only that, is the Word of God your counselors, if you allow it to be, we want to go this way. We want to do this. I want to do this. I want to handle this situation like that. If you let the Word of God counsel you, well, then it'll keep you on the right track. Not only that, and I love this little picture. If you can see her being hugged. I don't know if you can see that in the picture or not. I try to make it. But it says, the Word of God is your comforter. Listen, it says, from my earliest youth, I've tried to obey you, and your word has been my comfort. Now, this is in the Living Bible, so it's a little bit more paraphrasey, but I really liked how it said it. Psalm 119, 28, it says that the Word of God, not only is it your counselor, is it your comforter, but it's also your strengthener. Listen, my soul is weary with sorrows, and I don't know if that's you, but sometimes that's me. Right? Strengthen me supernaturally by the living power of God. Strengthen me according to what? Why do you think the enemy wants so much to move you off track or to not have you read it at all or to read it in a legalistic way or to do, everything is just to derail you from getting that counsel, that comfort, that strength from the Word of God. Well, Pastor, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it like that. What do I do? Then you pray. If you're not seeing the Word of God like that, if it's not your delight, if it's not your strength, if it's not your counselor, if it's not your comforter, well, then ask God to change your vision. Ask him to break whatever barrier needs to be broken in your eyes to see supernaturally what God's Word is to you. Ask him. This is from Psalm, what is it, 119, 18, in the New King James Version. Open my eyes. He's talking spiritually. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open my eyes that I may see the wondrous things from your law or your word. The Word of God is so powerful. Okay, so we're not going to get beyond this one verse. But Psalm 119, 130 in the New King James Version says this, and I love this picture, because whatever darkness, whatever depression, whatever is attacking you, the flesh, the world, the demonic realm, whatever it is, listen, the entrance of your word gives light. Oof. It shines through that darkness, through that depression, through that discouragement, through that legalism, through that anything. It gives light, and it also gives understanding to the simple. Listen, well, that's kind of insulting. Well, maybe so, but here's the deal. Can I just be honest? Like, I could never teach the Word of God. I'm a simple person. What? I am a simple person, very simple. I'm maybe picky, if you ask my wife, but I'm really a simple person, okay? I'm not some complex theologian. I'm not some superstar Bible scholar. I'm a guy who loves the Lord and loves the Word. And if he can use somebody like me, he can use somebody like you, Nathan, 100,000%. He can use somebody like you, Victor. Listen, he gives not only the Word, not only gives understanding to the simple, so it gives counseling, comfort, strength, understanding. It also gives light and tells us which path to take. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This world is crazy complex. The world's trying to tell you this way, that way. If you follow the Lord, if you follow his word, he's going to guide you through the maze of life. It's also a cleanser, the Bible says, in Ephesians chapter 5, I think, right? 5:26. It cleanses us, washing us with the water of the word. That's what we're doing today. And Psalm 19, I love this because it's also a lifesaver. It says in Psalm 119:93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. As I go through these last couple verses, I just want Jason, Lisa, we're not going to get through more than this one verse. I'm sorry. George is going to be Hebrews chapter 4:12, and that's all we're going to get to. I'm sorry. But Jason, Lisa, can you come sit? Don't feel any pressure. When they're coming, if they, well, then you know what? It's the Holy Spirit. He'll remind you. Deuteronomy 4:2 says this. Listen, but it's not only like getting them in and receiving them, realizing they're your counselors, your comforters, your strengtheners, helping you to understand, giving you direction and light in your life, being that lamp unto your feet step by step as you trust in him. We have to keep them. Listen, a lot of people want to add or subtract to the Word of God and make it, again, what they want. And the Word of God isn't about what you want. It's what God wants. And so don't take away something from, well, I don't like this part. Everybody wants to take the Word of God like a McDonald's drive-thru. Oh, hold the fries, supersize the blessing, you know, whatever. Listen, the Bible says this in Deuteronomy 4:2, do not add to what I command to you, and do not subtract from it. But keep the commands of the Lord your God that I have given you. Remember, it's your spiritual food and drink. Isn't this a cool picture? Jesus was answering and he was talking to his disciples and he was saying, hey, they brought back physical food. And he's like, oh man, don't worry about the physical food because man doesn't live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is the word of God to you. This is what needs to be held high, and it needs to be held high in your own heart. Does that make sense? Don't subtract, don't add to it. Take it in, receive it, and obey it. Amen? All right, I'm just going to ask, I don't know where the microphone is, but I'm going to... Anybody want to go first? Oh, Jay, I guess. Jason, apparently you're going to go for it. I guess you're going to go first. Congratulations.
Yes, I'm right. I haven't had a chance to throw you under the bus.
So all I'm asking, if you remember from last, I just want you to share, like people hear from me all the time, I can say that every word of God that the Word of God is living and powerful and changes lives. But I just want to know, what does the Word of God mean to you? That it discerns the thoughts and intents of your heart. What does it mean to you? You can say whatever you want. I have no idea, by the way, what he's going to say. You guys told him to say something. I've told him to say nothing, so it's all from the Holy Spirit.
Actually, he slipped me a script before service, so...
Thanks.
I'm kidding. You know, I've been thinking about this because He's made a comment about speaking about what the Word of God means last week before the end of service. And I'm going to be honest with you, I've racked my brain and racked my brain because it's kind of hard for me to put into words. It says that it's effective in the Bible here, and he made a comment. It is. When you read the Word of God, and if you read it with God allowing you, or allowing God, I'm sorry, to really work in your heart, to allow him to surrender to his words, to hear the words that he has to say, it truly is a knife. And I like the way that it said it in here, that it separates soul and spirit, joints and marrow. To me, that's almost a picture of just that sword or knife just cutting my soul, separating the flesh, if that makes sense. And it's the discerner of our thoughts and our intents. It's more than just physical. It's not just me coming here and saying these words. It's so much more that I want to live a life that honors him in every little thing that I do, whether it be eating or drinking or speaking to somebody. I want them to see him in me. I want them to see that even if I'm not sitting here in church, if I'm out in public, or how I dress. You know, there are times that, you know, I feel the need to cover certain tattoos or whatever the case is, just because I want to be a good witness for the Lord. It's not because I have to, but it's because I want to show him glory, if that makes sense to everybody. So the Word of God transforms us. It's funny, Pastor Darren talked about early on in this message about addiction, and it brought me back to the fact that even I had, you know, a smoking problem before. And the Word of God transformed me. And I'm not even just talking about reading the Word, but just being in prayer and hearing his voice and knowing, and I did, I trusted and I obeyed, and he delivered me. There's so much, it's so powerful. The Word is everything. To, you know, I've had people tell me, why do you talk about the Bible all the time? Why is everything about God? Because this is life. This is life. And it does the surgery, as you said last week. It does the surgery that we need in our hearts. It circumcises our hearts in a way that nothing else can do. So, yes, it is extremely, extremely powerful. And what he does and what he has done for us is amazing. And if you allow him into your heart, you'll see that transformation.
Thanks. just give me a few more minutes to shake in my boots here. The Word of God. So it's interesting that he put a picture of bread up there. You know, one of the things, and I know that they covered the teaching of it really, really well, but, you know, we say when we see people, we're like, how do people go through life without the Lord Jesus? How many in here said that? And when you look at somebody, you're like, how can they go through that without the Lord? You know, we've had illnesses, we've had cancer, we've had all kinds of stuff in our household, you know, mental illness, things that have come up, and you're just like, and then you see other people going through it, and you're like, how do they do it without the Lord? How do they not just crumble to pieces? And some of them do. And some of them exit out, and some of them have all kinds of other strategies. And then I started thinking, how can we live our lives as Christians without the Word? Because one of the things, I am not a consistent person, but I have been gifted with a heart that knows how valuable the Word of God is and how desperately I need it every single day. And for the last 12 to 15 years, probably 362 days out of the year, I've made it where I've been in the Scripture before I do anything else. I mean, other than get my coffee, okay? That kind of stuff. And, you know, potty, whatever, you know, the normal routine. I am not a consistent person. You ask anybody that lives in my household, and they'll say, I don't know where Mom put the soup ladle this day. There's about four different places that she could put it. And so I'm telling you that, not to just tell you how much of a goofball I am, but to tell you that we can, if we know how important something is, we can change our consistency. If we really take today's teaching to heart, we will change the consistency of how much we're in God's Word. If we're inspired enough, we learn enough, that's how change happens. And some of us just need to understand how important it is and how beneficial it is and truly take that to heart to change our patterns in the morning to understand. I used to say, like, years and years ago, it really doesn't matter. You can do it before you go to bed. You can blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you can do it before your bed. You can eat any time of the day. You can eat upon God's Word. But the morning, you know, there's something God might have wanted to say to you to handle that day, and you have missed out. So for me, God's Word, you know, God put on my heart just the daily need of guarding our hearts and being in God's Word, because we'll walk into things that day and we're going to need that fresh living water that he gave us that morning. And the days that maybe that scripture was not that relevant, you're like, okay, great, God, that's a great verse. I've learned that. I've studied that. Okay, that's wonderful. He might use it in our storehouse for something else down the road. I know that, this is just little examples. I'm going to tell you, they're kind of silly examples, and they just really apply to me. But the truth of the matter is that's what God's living word is for us, the things that apply to us. You know, I was struggling a couple of years ago, about 5 years ago. Some of you guys know that I'm the principal of the school here, right? And with being a principal, there's children in my life, there's adults in my life, and there's teachers in my life. There's all these different people that come to me for different things, right? And I was getting so discouraged. And this is a personal thing I'm going to share with you. I was getting so discouraged with people. Anybody ever here be discouraged with people? You know, Michael Jackson had a song about human nature. That's just human nature. Well, there's a lot of human nature running around. And sometimes you can just be like, I'm done. I'm just done with people. Well, the Lord had me in Proverbs teaching the kiddos. And there was a scripture verse about oxen. And I'm like, well, and about barns and stalls. And I was like, huh, barns and stalls? Okay, Lord, that's good. You say it's living and active. And he was like, but you are complaining. And I can read you the scripture so you can kind of understand where my brain went with this. You know, first I'm reading and I'm like, okay. Where there is no oxen, the manger is empty. But from the strength of an ox comes abundant harvest. That would be one that I could be like, okay, God, cool. Let's move on. What am I going to tell the kids about that one? And he kind of made me stop and he's like, you're complaining about dirty stuff. You're complaining about the dirt you have to deal with. But if I removed all of that from your life, Lisa, you're not going to see the abundant blessing that you're seeing. You're not going to be there to see what I am working through you and others, even though there's filth, even though there's poop. Because that's what I was feeling like. I was just like discouraged. And I know there's many wonderful people in my life. Don't get me wrong. But we all go there in our hearts, don't we? That was the living. The living water that I needed for that day and to help me move on in that situation. And you know what? That verse, that very verse that I took in and he talked to me about, I use in so many times to encourage people in my life. So it's the daily stuff that you might be like, okay, Lord, that's great. Store it up, guys. Store it up because you're going to need it at a time. When you walk into business meetings, when you walk into the tire shop, when you walk into places, you need that storehouse, right? Does the Lord bring to your mind things like, do not entertain the angry man. Do not do this. Do not do that. I mean, there's so many different scriptures, right, that if we allow it to sit in us, he will bring it out. And what Jesus said to his disciples and to people, before he left this earth, he said, the Father is going to send a counselor. And he will, let me read it, because there's one part that I keep always forgetting in my crazy brain. And it's important, that part. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I have said to you. So everything you put in that storehouse, the Holy Spirit wants to use, and he wants to remind you, and he wants to bring fresh that living water. So please take that in, and all that we know that it's so precious, it's so perfect, but it is so every day. It's every day powerful. It's every day needed. It's every day life for us, right? And take it in and study it. Get into the weird books, the ones where you're like, I have no idea what this is. I mean, years ago, I'd be like, I don't care to know about oxen, Lord. I really don't. I'm not going to be a farmer. I don't like animals. I'm allergic to every one of them that is on this planet. But that scripture verse is so much life to me. He even gave me a scripture verse from Ecclesians one day. Ecclesiastes, excuse me, about the students that were complaining about me behind my back. And he brought life into that. It's so practical. It's so perfect for us. And there's one thing that, you know, we're talking about psychologists and we're talking about the mental, our minds, and we're talking about things like this. And one of my favorite psychologists, Dr. Henry Cloud, and he does a lot. He did the Boundaries book, 20,000 or 20 million copies sold. He was telling a story when he gets on an airplane with people, right? You always be like, oh, what do you do? Blah, 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 blah. You know, there's a whole story, that whole situation that happens on airplanes with the people next to you because you're there for hours. He always starts talking to them, and he tells them he's a psychologist, right? And then he lets them kind of like, he'll start talking. And what he'll talk, actually, is from like Proverbs and Psalms. And he'll start bringing the word, and they'll be so amazed. Where did you learn all of this? Where did you get all that training? And then he lets them in on a secret that it's the word of God. And we have that every day. So for me, the life is that it keeps this foolish, inconsistent, crazy person in line and having life in my life through his word. So that's what I want to share about.
All right, so we're going to close out in prayer. And, you know, as I see this food, when she was talking about daily and Jason was talking about the importance of it, here's the thing. I don't know if this you go through this, but if I eat breakfast, I feel like I'm satisfied, at least for most of the day. I could skip breakfast. I could skip eating at the first part of the day, and I can only eat dinner. But you know what's going to happen? My attitude's going to be bad. I'm going to be hangry off the whole day. And everybody's going to suffer the wrath of that. So take that gift, that word of God first thing in the morning. Remember, it's the bread of life. Lord, we want to say thank you for every person that's here today, Lord God. Every person that's going to be watching this week that's on vacation or tuning in, Lord, who's out of town, Lord God. Bless your people with a supernatural hunger and a desire and a fire for that word, Lord God. And I pray that you would kindle that fire in their belly, Lord God, till it's a consuming fire, Lord God, till they have to let it out, Lord God. They have to get it in and then let it out, Lord God. I pray in Jesus Christ's name that you would bless everyone here with learning your word and trusting your word and obeying your word in their lives, Lord God, in our lives, Lord. Thank you for these great people, Lord God. Thank you for this great church, the school, the folks online that watch, Lord, and all your people, Lord God. We ask your blessing upon them. In Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people together said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in the name of Jesus Christ.